Hello, you're about to listen to the Movie Mixtape with Marcy and Dirk. This is episode 37 and it is the start of a new mixtape called Warm Blanket. And it is my pick and I have gone for the 1987 film Adventures in Babysitting, directed by Chris Columbus and starring Elizabeth Shue as the titular babysitter. Will this movie be too 80s for Marcy to handle? Why don't you sit back, relax, and enjoy the mix? Hello everyone, welcome to episode 37 of the Movie Mixtape. I'm Dirk, and joining me as always is Marcy. Hello Marcy, how are you doing?
Is this NPR? What are we doing?
Taking some feedback from you from last week when
you felt
outgrown me just randomly singing things at the beginning. So I'm trying to be more professional and validate your choices in me as co-host. So, how's it going?
I'm just going to not ever give my two cents ever again, but I'm good. How are you, Dirk?
Oof, I'm feeling all right. I've loosened up a bit now. I was a bit stiff then at the beginning. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Mm-hmm. What's been happening with you, kid?
I don't think I said this on the podcast, but over the summer, we had a little family of baby raccoons in our backyard, and the other night we had a fire and some friends over, and the little baby raccoons came back. They're a little bit bigger, not by much, which is surprising because it's been a couple months. But yeah, they were up climbing in a tree again, and I don't know. It's like we've got a lot of animals.
Did they bring marshmallows and graham crackers?
No, but we gave them marshmallows because apparently raccoons really like marshmallows. So I don't know. I looked and it said it was okay for them to eat before I gave them to them. But they were climbing down the tree. It was like a parting gift. Like I was like, here's some marshmallows for you.
Sing me the song of your people.
Oh my God.
I can't possibly be involved in a conversation about raccoons without mentioning Cyril Sneer. So there I go. I've done it. Cyril Sneer. He relates to raccoons. Everybody my age will go, yeah, well done, Dirk, for getting that in.
I don't know what that means, but okay, yeah. Well, good for getting that in, Dirk.
Yep. You're welcome. And so everybody at home who understood my Cyril Sneer reference, welcome. Come in, sit down. You'll be more comfortable. This is the start of a brand new mixtape, and it is the brainchild of Marcy. So Marcy, why don't you tell everyone what we're sort of theming it all about, you know?
So I kind of mentioned this last week. So this mix is called Warm Blanket. I think most people use that for specific movies. I don't think it's something I came up with. I mean, you knew what it was when I mentioned it. But Warm Blanket is just like movies that make you feel better. Like just anytime you watch them, movies that you want to rewatch over and over again. Just like your like comfort movies, essentially. So, you know, like wearing a warm blanket. Yeah.
If you are joining us for the first time, let me explain a little bit about what we do. So we've got our theme for the mixtape, Warm Blanket. That is the thing that you were going to write in big, big, bold letters in permanent marker on the front of the cassette, you know, when you're making a mixtape. But then we're going to fill it with four films. One film that I'll pick for Marcy that she's not seen before. She'll pick one for me that I've not seen before. We'll pick one together and then we'll have a friend come on. I know, we've got friends. It may not sound like it, but we've got friends. And then,
oh my God.
And then they'll come on and they'll pick a film. And we talk about them and they will all be films that at least one of us loves, because that is the aim of this podcast, is to kind of share things that we love with each other and be a beacon of positivity.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the friends could possibly be a baby raccoon or two. How cute would that be? Little raccoons with little headphones on.
Wearing a cute little sweatshirt, a red sweatshirt.
Oh my God.
With a yellow rust right in the middle.
My God. Just eating marshmallows on the microphone the whole time. I wouldn't mind. I'd be okay editing that. It'd be worth it. So, but what's new with you? Any raccoons in your life? Any baby raccoons in your life?
Not even an adult raccoon in my life. Nothing like that. What would you call a raccoon? It's like, what is it? It's not a marsupial, is it? Is it a marsupial?
No, I don't think it is. I thought you meant like more like a trash panda. I thought you were like looking for like another name for it. We call them trash pandas over here. Did you know that?
That's so endearing.
It's said in the first Guardians movie, he I think Peter Quill calls Rocket a trash panda. And he gets all offended, but he has no idea, like, what a raccoon or a trash panda is. And he gets really pissed when he gets called one, though, for some reason. Sorry, no raccoons in your life. No. I'm sorry.
We just had bonfire night, though. Do you know what bonfire night is?
Is that, like, the bonfire night I just had?
Do you have a bonfire night as well?
I just said that. No, I literally I just said that. That's where we saw.
I know you had a fire, but...
Yeah, but bonfire.
Was it done? Was it done, like, as part of an annual tribute?
Like a sacrifice? Well, no.
Sacrifice, not me. So on the 5th of November every year over here in the UK, we have something called Bonfire Night. Everybody sets fires and everybody shoots fireworks into the sky. So it was our annual evening to do that. But it's not even to like the pagan gods or anything. It's to celebrate some guy who almost didn't blow up Parliament. He tried to blow up Parliament. What a weird thing to celebrate that is, isn't it?
That's a weird holiday.
Yeah.
It's not
a holiday. Yeah. We don't get the day off or anything. You know, we don't get the day off to go and look at a fire burning. That's maybe something you do over in America. I'm not sure. But
it's called the 4th of July. Yep.
But luckily it fell on a Saturday this year. So we didn't have to go into work and we could think all day about what fires we were going to light and everything.
Do you like save up your trash all year to like burn it on the 5th of November?
No, we do it properly. You know, this is not some kind of, like you said, trash can fire. This is proper wood, not balsa wood, real wood. Break down a few stately homes and just put them on and set fire to them.
Okay.
Have you seen V for Vendetta?
Once a long time ago, and I don't remember anything about
it. Really? Because I'm pretty sure Bonfire Night were in that.
Oh, November, the 5th of November, or whatever the expression is. That's it. That's all I know.
Well, you don't even know that because it's not that. It's remember.
Oh, God, November.
It's not like New York. It's like...
Listen. Kablasto, are you listening? We need sweatshirts that say November, remember the 5th of November.
Right, I'm sending him a DM immediately to tell him do not need sweatshirts that say that.
Please get me a sweatshirt that says that. Obviously, you can tell I'm a big fan of that movie. Woo, let me tell you.
I saw that you logged a film this week called Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah?
What? I watched that recently as well.
The same day or a different?
Oh. You know what I did? I was going on that podcast rankings and it was about top 10 anime.
I was on that episode with you.
Yeah, I remember. You were on it too. And I had to do like my top 10 animated films. And I was looking at my list and thinking, oh, needs a bit more variety here. Let's roll the dice. There's about 3 days left. Can I watch a film that's supposed to be good that I think might go into my top 10? And I was looking for The Iron Giant. But I couldn't get it anywhere. So I watched Fantastic Mr. Fox instead. And I did really like it.
Wait, that was your first time watching it?
Yeah, I haven't even logged it on Letterboxd. So
oh my God.
I wanted to avoid any suspicion that this was like some kind of false pick or something like that. So I acted like I'd seen it years ago. I'd probably watched it about a day before we recorded that episode.
Oh my gosh. So I knew you had it on your list, but I had assumed you had seen it like multiple. I thought it was like a warm blanket movie for you. Wow, I'm shocked. Okay, I had assumed you had seen it years ago.
But we love Roald Dahl over here in this country. Do you have a relationship with Roald Dahl or not in America?
Oh, yeah. Like, Matilda was a big deal growing up, and James and the Giant Peach was also a big deal. Did you ever see the James and the Giant Peach movie? It's all claymation as well,
too.
No,
I've not seen it. I know. Well, I have seen it, but never, like, properly sat down to watch it. It's always kind of one of them things that may have been on in the background over, I don't know, something like that.
It's pretty good. I like it. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I know that director just made a movie recently that came on Netflix, Wendell and Wild, and we were talking about that
not that long ago
because it's, yeah, that's the guy that did Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline, and yeah, that's what he's all known for. I can't think of his name right now, and I'm so sorry. I apologize, everybody.
Edit that back in afterwards. Just do a little clip of you saying the name and stick it back in, and then cut out that bit of me just saying edit that back in.
No. It's okay. People can know I don't know everything. But yeah, Fantastic Mr. Fox, very good warm blanket movie, very good fall movie as well. So
I liked in your review you made some Miyazaki comparisons, and I can feel that.
Oh yeah, the food looked really good in that movie.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know what? Now, food is a big thing over here in the month of November in America. So I feel like if you're looking for autumn movies, I think anything like heavily relying on food should be considered.
Yeah. All cinema based with food is worth considering at the best of time.
Should we talk about our warm blanket movie that you picked this week and why you picked it?
From 1987, directed by Christopher Columbus and starring Elizabeth Shue, Adventures in Babysitting. That's my pick. Now, what do you want to do? Shall I do the synopsis first and then we discuss it? Or shall we say why it's a warm blanket movie for me and then do the synopsis? What do you fancy?
I think you should do the synopsis and then tell me why it's a warm blanket movie.
That's what I wanted to do.
And then we'll
do.
Talk about the movie.
That's what I wanted to do.
So okay.
Yet again, okay. On the same podcast page here, Marcy. I mean, as you know, I have two children and I am in need of a babysitter from time to time. So I've been getting my fingers out, tap, 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 tap on my keyboard onto Google. And I found this Google review, 1-star Google review. I have just had the misfortune of engaging the babysitting services of one Chris Parker. Naturally, she wasn't my first choice, but Mary Beth Smith has mono, and we have all heard about what happened with Debbie Boudoir, the poor thing, so beggars can't be choosers. Up she trots in her grandpa's old stinky coat and a scarf better suited to Tom Baker off of Doctor Who, claiming she was 17 years old. And the rest, love. But at the very least, I'd hope she'd provide a positive female role model for my youngest, Sarah. Honestly, she's a constant worry. What 8-year-old girl is obsessed with Thor? It's not even the hunky one with the muscles. That film doesn't come out for 24 years. Comics. Ugh. Brad, though, my eldest, was swooning as soon as she arrived. If he was a dog, I'd have to have him fixed. He's a walking embodiment of the Porky's movie franchise. But here's the kicker. Chris only went and took my sweet, innocent children into the city. The city! All to go pick up her wonky friend, Brenda. You know Brenda? She looks like a budget Cyndi Lauper, has all the issues. And I blame the parents. And we all know what happens in the city. Car crime, frat parties, gang violence, blues music. Thankfully, my children know better than to be involved with anything like that. But Sarah was still awake when we got home and Chris was snogging a random 30-year-old man on the doorstep. And Brad's friend, Daryl, had been allowed to stay over. You know the one, fucking little asshole. Ugh, I will not be employing Chris again. 1-star. That is my synopsis of Adventures in Babysitting. I got a bit lost there somewhere in the middle and just went with it. Just went with it.
Oh my. Okay. I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised that's the review she got. They didn't seem to act like that to her in person.
Well,
but
you know, that's the director's cut.
Okay.
So
okay.
This is Adventures in Babysitting and it's my warm blanket movie, which despite that 1-star review from the parents in this movie, I would give it more than 1-star, Marcy. And I think warm blanket comfort films can mean different things to different people, can't they? So it can be, you might be your warm blanket just because you absolutely loved the film. It might be a comfort movie because of the topics that they discuss and it just warms the cockles of your heart. Or it can be maybe a comfort film because it stirs up some memories of when you would watch it at different times, and it makes you think of those happy memories, which I think for me, this is the latter of those different choices. So came out in 1987. I probably saw it a few years after that. Maybe I was like 10 or 11 or something like that. And me and my brother and my dad would go to the video shop, and we just randomly just pick things, because obviously it was the early 90s, the late 80s, and so nobody knew what anything was. And I think this was just like a very random recommendation from the guy in the shop. I'd never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure my dad had never heard of it before. For some reason, he thought it would be a good film to share with probably like an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. So we took it home, put it on, and I was in hysterics like the whole way through.
Oh my God.
The whole way through. And then for about 2 or 3 years after that, whenever anybody asked me what my favorite film was, it was Adventures in Babysitting. And I think that I just kind of almost defined my cinema tastes for a good 24 months. I was so enamored with it at that age. And to the point whereby I watched it this week, and I'll get onto this in a minute with you, but I watched it on Disney Plus, and Disney Plus, it comes up right at the beginning. This film has been edited for content, and I was like, oh, it's fine. I'll just watch this. It's free, this version, isn't it? And it was different to the one that I would see, that I saw originally. But because I'd seen it so many times, all the bits that were missing and cut out, I was doing them in my head. I was doing the lines in my head and stuff. So that it is part of my cinematic DNA, this film. And thank you to Boom from Film Hags. It kind of brought this back into the conversation when they were on for The Cell, because I had a few other films sort of in my head for this, but I think I said before, I'm not really a kind of a rewatcher of movies over recent years, just due to time pressures. So some of the films I had in my head, they were good and they do comfort me, but they perhaps weren't as a personal choice as this. And so Boom reminded me of it and reminded me of my love for it. And so here we are.
Oh, wow. I'm glad, like, we got to, like, have bookends for this because, so, confession time. I actually don't know if I knew about this movie because I always just assume it was Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which is another movie, which I haven't seen either, but that is a title that just sticks with you forever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why is all what is going on? So I just think I thought this was that, and I think even like when we were talking about it on the Cell episode, I said that's with Christina Applegate, right? No, she's in the other one. So I actually don't think I was ever aware of this movie, really, unless if I just completely forgot about it until you guys were talking about it on the Cell. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, this is a big blind spot for me. So that's pretty cool because I'm not trying to be patronizing or anything, but I feel like that doesn't happen a lot with you and me. How are you doing this for me? I mean, how the turntables, you know, as Michael Scott says.
Like, well, that's part of the difficulty with podcast relationship, innit? That was kind of another reason why, because it was clear you had never even heard of it or seen it. So that was always nice. Mm-hmm. It's always nice to have you have a first-time experience with a film.
I also watched it on Disney Plus, and it also was the TV formatted version. So I haven't seen the full thing. So, you know, maybe one day I will check out what the full movie is.
Well, so the Disney version isn't really that different to the theatrical version. The main difference is all the swearing is removed from it. I think that's okay. And there is also a homophobic slur in it that is removed, which in the original thing was not done for sort of comedic effect. It was done to kind of paint a character as in a slightly negative way, but it is there in there repeatedly. So I'm actually it's pleasing that that is taken out because it's unnecessary. But they also removed all the swearing. So, but that to me is part of the paradoxical nature of this film. This is a Disney film. It is a Disney film. It is apparently their first ever PG-13 movie, and it is the first Disney film to include the word fuck. So,
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I think as a 10, 11-year-old watching it, not knowing what was going to happen, and all of a sudden somebody says, fuck, and and somebody says, like, I don't know, shit or whatever, I was like, what are we watching here, Dad? And maybe that added to the whole kind of surprise and the experience of it. Maybe a little bit. Like Elizabeth Shue was a big star at the time, or at least...
That time, yeah.
It's a few years after Karate Kid, when she was in the first Karate Kid. And I think after this came the Back to the Future 2 and 3, I think that's how it was. But apparently they originally had Michelle Pfeiffer or Jodie Foster down for the role, and then they both decided...
For this movie? Yeah. Oh,
and then
wow.
They both decided to pass on it. So we have Elizabeth.
Yeah, I don't know how much I think Elizabeth Shue's, like, perfect for this, like, cute, like, endearing babysitter. Jodie Foster would scare the crap out of me and those kids probably wouldn't have messed with her at all if she was driving that car and driving them around. And Michelle Pfeiffer, I just feel like, I don't know, it doesn't work as well. I feel like Elizabeth Shue just kind of has that innocence about her where Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't, but... I don't know how to explain it better. So I'm glad it ended up being Elizabeth Shue in this movie for being Chris the babysitter, yeah.
I think going back to the fact that it was late 80s and nobody knew anything because the internet didn't exist and you had to get information from books, and who could be bothered reading when there were yo-yos, this is kind of where I got a lot of formative opinions about America from.
Oh, God. Yeah,
so things like the car that Chris drives. I was kind of obsessed with these cars that looked like they had fake wood paneling on the outside. Because
the station wagon?
Like, we don't have those cars in England. We don't have cars that look like they're a wardrobe or a cupboard. You know, so that was intriguing to me. The idea of just this idea of having this babysitter come over to your house, because I don't know, it's not like a big thing over here that you pay some high schooler to come and mind your kid, and then just thinking that you were going to go on adventures like in the Goonies or something. So like the whole romantic idea of this older babysitter coming in and minding you for an evening was pretty mind-blowing. I think we talked a little bit about it off air, but I mean, this is way before Marvel movies hit, and yet we've got like an 8-year-old girl totally obsessed with Thor, which again I was like oh yeah, because I knew what Thor was because I was reading comics at that time, but just I hadn't seen like what an unusual choice to have, like
hero to pick, for like not Spider-Man, you know, like because everybody loves Spider-Man, everybody knows Spider-Man. Like my jaw dropped. I loved Sarah immediately. I think she might be my favorite character. I'm a little bit biased because Thor is my favorite Marvel superhero, but for different reasons. Pretty obvious two words, Chris Hemsworth. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. I just loved her immediately. I couldn't believe, well, when you first see her and she had the helmet on, I was like, is that supposed to be Thor's helmet? I had no idea. I don't know. And then you go up to her bedroom and you see it everywhere and you're like, holy crap. Oh my God, this girl is so good and like so cool. And did you also notice that she had Gizmo on her backpack too?
Why do you think she had Gizmo on her backpack, Martin?
Wait, so this is 87. This is right after Gremlins comes out, right? The first one. Yeah, so I'm guessing it was just very popular.
Because Chris Columbus directed this film, and Chris Columbus did the screenplay for Gremlins.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I was like, don't you dare say he directed it, because that was Joe Dante. So, it is kind of funny that Chris Columbus is really well known for these types of movies. I mean, like the Home Alones and also the first two Harry Potters as well.
And he wrote the Goonies as well. So, like, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, he's somebody that I feel like people forget about, though, for some reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you look at his filmography, you're like, holy crap. Like, kind of like Elizabeth Shue, where you're like, holy crap.
Well, I kind of feel like he's got a little bit. He's from that same sort of era as maybe like John Hughes, and John Hughes obviously associated with Home Alone as well, I think, isn't he? And so like
trying to
capture that the magic of being a teenager and how the possibilities seem endless to you, and adventure can be just around the corner. I think he kind of goes for that kind of feel. And when I don't know how you feel about this, but when I was watching Adventures in Babysitting this time, I almost got the feeling like this is the evil twin brother of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is it also takes place in Chicago, mm-hmm. which almost every like John Hughes movie happens in as well too. So it kind of, yeah, it just kind of felt like one of those movies that, hey, this is the genre that's popular and this is the location where it's popular to have this movie. So we're just going to kind of, you know, make like our photocopy of that a little bit. That's not a bad thing at all. I mean, it happens all the time now. Like, you see, like we were just talking about superhero movies, like it's really worked for one studio, but when you get these photocopies of some of them work and some of them don't.
The script mm-hmm. for this was apparently knocking around for like decades, and people mm-hmm. were trying to do something with it for a while. So the idea had been there for a long time, but Ferris Bueller, what was it, a year before this maybe? But the difference, I think, mm-hmm. you know, in Ferris Bueller, you've got three people who make an active choice to go and adventure around Chicago.
Yeah.
And in this, you've got people who are the reluctant mm-hmm. adventurers who really don't want to be having all of these mishaps kind of happen. Well,
you could say that's Cameron in a way.
True.
Yeah.
But it's kind of anti-Ferris feel to me. But they're, mm-hmm. they're a good mm-hmm. pairing. They're a good pairing.
Yeah, I was going to actually bring this up. So there's, when you watch Ferris Bueller, and I think we had this talk too on our episode with Ferris Bueller, like, is Ferris a good friend? my question for you in this movie, is Brenda a good friend?
No.
Because she is pretty terrible. Yeah. I like pretty terrible. Like, Brenda, just call your dad. Yeah. Like, he'll be mad, but he'll get over it. Yeah. Like,
so just in a very quick nutshell. So Chris has come over to babysit two kids. The boy's friend also comes over. So there are three kids. They're like an 8-year-old and a 15-year-old. But her mate, Brenda, calls her from a bus station in downtown Chicago. I've run away from home, but I'm scared now. Can you come and pick me up? And so they go into the city to pick her up. And then all these things befall them along the way. But yeah, no, I don't think she's the best friend, is she? Like,
No. Oh my gosh.
Also, I kind of thought, imagine this film hinges on the fact that Chris doesn't have $40 to pay for a taxi as well, right at the beginning. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you think about some of the things these days, like, and the advent of like bloody PayPal, mobile phones, we haven't got a story, mm-hmm. have we? We haven't got a story.
Okay, but I do want to add something here, though, because so whenever they do go downtown to get Brenda or whatever, they get a flat tire, and this guy picks them up, and he's like, it's going to be $50, and she's like, oh, no problem, I can just write a check. So why couldn't she write a check for Brenda's cab for $40? You know what I mean?
I don't know how taxis work in America in the late 80s. Do they accept checks? Because
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't alive then either. So.
Because the guy selling wieners in the bus station really wasn't keen at accepting a check. And I'll be honest, I did not understand the economic transaction that Brenda was suggesting. I don't think you can just cross out a name.
I have no idea either.
Just give it to someone else.
I have no clue.
Brenda.
Brenda just, I'm going to just be honest right now. Brenda was the worst. I just want to say that. First and foremost.
Brenda was played by Penelope Ann Miller. That blows my mind as well. You know, Penelope Ann Miller going on to,
yeah.
So she did Kindergarten Cop, and I'm pretty sure she was in The Shadow, but she doesn't play like this type of character again. She plays like, I don't know, like the glamorous love interest type in these other films too. That blows my mind. That blows my mind.
Yeah, I just wasn't. I'm not super familiar. I haven't seen Kindergarten Cop in a long time, but that would be a fun one to rewatch. I just remember like when it's not a tumor. Like that's all I remember from Kindergarten Cop and the ferret. He brings the ferret into like show and tell one day, and that's about it. Too familiar with her, but man, she was like. I'm sorry, she was just on my nerves the whole time. If I was Chris, I would have just been like, listen. Because Brenda's not even a good friend in the very beginning. So the movie starts off, Chris is supposed to go on this date with her. I guess it's her boyfriend. But he's got a sick sister. And that was Bradley Whitford, which did not... I mean, he looks so different now. Like, I was, like, stunned. I knew he was in this movie just by looking at the credits before. But even seeing him, I was like... Oh my God. I've only ever seen your hair white, sir. I had no idea who you
Where
are.
Where
do
you know
right
him from?
So he's in Get Out, but he's on Handmaid's Tale mm-hmm. right now too. He's from a bunch of different things. Oh, Cabin in the yes. Woods. He's got his hair's not white he's in Cabin in the Woods, but I've only ever seen him older. So I was like,
well,
oh,
come on.
What?
Like, he's about 37 in this film as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, can I tell you a funny story? So I thought the beginning was really cute. Chris is like lip syncing to a song because she's getting so excited about her date and everything. But she has a picture of this guy and I lost it because I thought it was a framed picture of Robin Williams. Oh, and I was like, wow, that's a really weird celebrity crush, but okay.
And you I do realized you, Chris.
I was like, oh, it's her boyfriend. But yeah, I mean, Chris, there are some really older guys interested in Chris in this movie.
Chris is supposed to be 17, but I think she's mid-20s at best. You know, so it's that typical thing where American teenagers are played by people a lot older than them. But you got to just kind
it
of...
It so happens,
you just
kind
of got to go with it. Chris is 17, and a boyfriend is what? I guess a boyfriend must be 18 or something. I don't know. Flipping Nori, does not.
I don't know.
Does not look good. But she's old enough to drive, and she's old enough to legally be in charge of children. That's all we need to know.
And then she watches... Now, Sarah was really cool. Brad was really creepy. And then Brad's friend... Is it Daryl? Is that his name? Actually, you know what? Daryl might be the worst. I don't know who's worse, Brenda or Daryl, but Daryl, I would have kicked him out of that car a long time ago and let him walk home.
Sorry, Marcy.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I was just going to jump ahead to there. They're at, he like leaves them at one point to go to a party. And if I was Chris, I would have been like, nobody knows that he was with us. I'm just going to leave him downtown. Too bad, kid. Like, that's how I felt about that kid. Oh my gosh.
To the people listening at home, having know Marcy for a couple of years now, that's absolutely what she would do.
I would not even think twice about it. I'd be giddy, like, driving away knowing I left that kid downtown.
I went on a bit of a spiritual journey with Daryl on this rewatch because 10-year-old Dirk thought Daryl was hilarious.
Oh my God.
The blowing on the glass with his mouth. I've done that for the rest of my life since this film. Do you know when he does his mouth really wide? And we've already said the swears. The swears have been taken out of it, but he has a couple of good swears. There was a moment in this when it was dubbed to this. You gotta be kidding me. And then Chris says, watch your mouth. And he goes, watch my mouth. You gotta be kidding me. What do you think? What swear was it? Do you think that they replaced it?
Is that where the F-bomb was?
You gotta be shitting me, he said. And I'd never heard that phrase as a 10-year-old. And I was very easily amused. But on this watch, all I wanted to do was strap Daryl down in like some form of restraints to put a gag around his mouth and make sure he didn't do anything else. I mean, he is such a force of chaos in this whole thing, isn't he?
Nothing redeeming about him. Nothing redeeming about him at all.
There was one redeeming moment that isn't even him, but he's scared when he's scared about kind of walking over. So what happens, right? Yeah, for some reason they get embroiled in this car theft ring, and I'm maybe expanding it a little bit in a minute, but they're escaping and he's nervous about escaping. But then Sarah, the 8-year-old Thor addict, takes him by the hand and says that, you know, she won't let anything happen to him. And he has a nice little tender moment there with Sarah then. And that's his best bit. And it's not even him doing it, is it?
Because he doesn't change. That doesn't change him. He's a little like turd still the whole movie. Like I said, I would have left him downtown. I'd have been like, you know what? Like I said, nobody knows that you were in the car with us. Nobody knew you came over. Not my problem. Not my problem.
Well, I think we both seem like we're both in agreement. Sarah, yes.
Sarah's cool.
Very cool. She's just very easily cool. I think Chris is.
I just feel so bad for Chris. And she even says, like, I'm too old for this. She's like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. I'm too old for this shit.
Exactly like that. But what about bits in the movie? Were there any bits in the movie that you did enjoy?
Oh, yeah. No, this is definitely like just a total it's just so 80s too. Like I am hit or miss on 80s movies, but I think you just have to embrace them for what they are. There's things in there that you're like, oh, this day and age, no, that does not fly. Nope, not okay, but whatever. We're here, it's too late, no going back. The 80s were just like the wild, wild west, and And I'm so glad I come after the 80s because I don't know if I would have survived. I will say this. I watch a lot of 80s movies and the hair the women have is terrible. But Elizabeth Shue's hair, she was really cute. She looked really cute. And I just really liked her automatically. I felt really bad for her. Kind of like how the end of our Final Girl mix, we were just talking, like, you are immediately rooting for Samara Weaving and Ready or Not. You're immediately, you already know just from, like, the title that things are not going to go well. And you just are like, I just hope you have a lovely night and it somehow works out and you get home by 1 a.m. Please and thank you. Like, yeah, I liked her, and I loved Sarah. And Brad gets all right towards the end, but Brad's a little bit of a... But he's just like, I don't know.
Teenage boy in the 80s.
I will say this, though. I feel like Brad was old enough where he could have just watched his sister by himself.
That could just be the movie magic of everybody being played by actors who are 5 years older. You know, I think he was supposed to be about 15. I'm not sure what the legalities there with that.
Well, he said he was a freshman in high school, so freshmen are 14, 15. Okay. So yeah, right around there. And I feel like
thanks for translating that.
I don't know. My parents left me home alone at the age of 11.
Oh my god.
Starting. Yep. Mm. So I don't know. For me, I was like, why isn't he just watching his sister?
Yeah, well, I can't speak to that experience, but I feel like the parents in this film tried to do the sensible thing, but boy, did it backfire and almost ended the death of their children. Mm-hmm. I think every single time I watch this film, I'm always enchanted by the bit in the blues bar. I just absolutely, I absolutely love it. The first time I watched it, I was giddy as a kipper. With that, I just think it's a lot of fun, and maybe it's just part of me that will just accept and love any movie that has a musical number in it for no apparent reason, much like Gremlins 2, Marcy, you know, with the what was it, New York, in that. But I just liked it. It was just a lot of fun. Were you not feeling the blues?
Okay, so kind of like, again, going off of like our last conversation for Ready or Not. When these like carjacker people are like after these kids, I just was so like, oh, can they just leave them alone? Like, you know, just so thrown off by that. And then when the blues thing, when I'm like, they need to get the heck out of there. Why are we like stalling here? Like, they need to be like, hey, can someone call the cops or something? Like, you know, so I was more not like in movie mode. I was in like, they need to get going. Like, can we stop with this, whatever is going on? Like, I'm stressed out here,
please. And I respect that you were concerned for the children. But as you heard with your own ears, nobody leaves that place without singing the blues, okay? Which must mean that it takes a very long time for everybody to vacate the bar at the end of the night if everybody has to sing the blues before they go.
Oh my God.
But that's their law and their rules. And who am I to say otherwise? I loved it. It's a great little tune, and I like Chris's awkward smile when she realizes, yes, I am actually going to have to do something here, and she turns around to everybody in the bar with, like, she's about to just implode. And then when the car thieves come in, they have to sing the blues as well, but luckily we don't see that because I don't think it'll be as good a song.
I don't think they did it either. So that's just my opinion. One thing I did think was really funny in this movie, going back to the carjackers. So they get a flat tire. They're on their way to go save Brenda or whatever, who's a terrible friend. I'm just going to say that every time I bring up Brenda. And they get towed and they're about to, like, you know, go get that all fixed. And then I guess the guy who is the tow driver, his wife is cheating on him, so he starts shooting guy that's with his wife, which leads them to go on the run. And they get into a car that is that guy's car, and then it's getting stolen by this other guy or whatever. But the thing is that Chris has completely forgotten her purse. She doesn't have her license. She doesn't have her checkbook. You know, she has nothing with her. But while they're in this car with this carjacker, she somehow has Sarah's cough syrup. Like, I just thought that was really funny. Like, she didn't remember her purse or the checkbook, but she has Sarah's cough syrup because Sarah's sick right now. So, I mean, she did something, right? I don't know. It was just so, like, why does she have the cough syrup, but she doesn't have anything else
with her? she was getting paid to have the cough syrup, I guess. But also she had that wonderful coat that her dead grandpa had given to her that I just kind of is a bit, don't know if this is too strong a word, Marcy, but just iconic, that really long sort of like that light brown coat that goes all the way down to her ankles. What about that carjacker, though? How come he doesn't just say get out of the car and he drives them all the way to the chop shop? I think that's a really... He must be the world's worst carjacker. What does he think is going to happen? His big boss is just going to go, all right, then, these kids can just sit here while we sort everything out. Crackers.
I definitely, like, so much in this movie happens where I'm just like, why? Like, what? Why is nobody, like, questioning this? Why is nobody, like... Why is nobody trying to help these kids? Like, why is nobody, like, doing anything about this? Like, when they're at the Blues Club, like you said, like, he's like, oh, you gotta sing. Why is nobody like, hey, we gotta call the cops and figure out what, get these kids home? Like, because it's probably, like, what, 11, 8, like, p.m., they're downtown in a bar. Like, I don't know. Me, I think I just was, like, I wasn't in movie brain for this. I was just more like, oh, my God, like, when are these children getting home? And, like, I am so stressed out right now. So...
It was the 80s. That's all you need to know.
Okay. There
was no such thing as,
God, what a decade.
No such thing as find my iPhone app that you can use to stalk your kids no matter where they are. Nothing like that was going on. You have very liberal times when it comes to parenting. You know, okay. you're a good parent if you'd purchased a babysitter to come around. That's you. That's your responsibility devolved to someone else, isn't it?
I guess, like, what I thought... So I knew there was going to be shenanigans in this movie, but I wasn't expecting it to be, like, car stealing, getting shot at, having, like... I was expecting, like, fun shenanigans, if that makes sense. But this is not, like, a fun situation
that's part of the... Where this film is a bit of an island unto itself. It's kind of... I think it's not quite an adult. It's not quite a film for grown-ups, and it's not quite a film for young kids either, is it? Because it is full of things like it's got a knife fight in it. It's got like a pornographic softcore pornographic magazine is central to the plot at various different points, and there is some insults thrown at Chris of a sexual nature as well, and it's like who. Who is it for, this film? Because I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it wasn't for me as a 10-year-old. But I think that's probably what kind of sucked me in, is this feeling of, should I really be watching this? I don't think I should, but I seem to be getting away with it, and that as along with just finding lots of it genuinely brilliantly funny, was I think part of the reason why it stuck with me so long. Maybe it's, like I said before, Disney's first PG-13, I think. So maybe they weren't quite sure exactly either where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the edit that is on Disney Plus is more appropriate, because at least it takes out the four random swear words. But it still leaves in all the plot with Playboy magazine, doesn't it?
Or also, like, they go to a college party, and some, like, girl in college is taking Daryl to go talk, and you're just like, why is this happening? Oh, my gosh. There was so much that made me uncomfortable watching this movie that I was like, I feel like, I understand. I love that you brought up, like, the video store and, like, just picking out random things, because that's, like, one of my favorite memories, too. It's something I wish we could still do now, and I'm sad that, like, these new generations, like, they have access to everything at their fingertips, and it's like, that takes all the fun away from, like, going and picking a movie, like, when it was time to go get a movie and stuff. But I feel like this is a movie that you had to grow up with to fully, like, love and appreciate, maybe, if that makes sense, you know? Yeah. So that's all I just wanted to say.
I think part of the thing in the video sort of is, as well, the movie poster. Did you see the movie poster with...
Yeah, the poster is funny and iconic, definitely. It reminds me of the posters for the National Lampoon Vacation movies, where that does not happen in the movie at all, but you remember what's on that poster, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of happens, but not doesn't happen, when they're sort of all of them abseiling from the side of a building, when in the film it's just Sarah holding on to a rope on the top of a building. But
Gosh, that stressed me out so bad. I'm sorry.
It's very stressful. You just think, Sarah, you made a bad choice there, love.
Why would you do that? Why would you go out that window? Oh my God, I'm sorry. I love Sarah. Mm-hmm. I love Sarah. I just was so upset when she went out.
You'll never need to ask me that question, because I will never go out that window, you know?
I know you wouldn't go out that window.
I will stare death in the face before I go down that window. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I think helps me feel the warm blanketedness of this is you said mm-hmm. the song at the beginning, but also just generally the soundtrack is pretty good. And mm-hmm. things, I think, like 25 Miles From Home plays, I think, a couple of times maybe. And as soon as I hear that song, I picture, you know, Chris driving in her house that also looks like a cupboard. And there's, I think they have, what do they have? They have one of the, they have like a Rolling Stones song, Give Me Shelter. And just like, mm-hmm. just picked really good songs for your soundtrack. And I think that's mm-hmm. another stalwart of the 80s, where they just would load the movie with just really good stuff like that.
Also, Martin Scorsese always has a Rolling Stones needle drop in all of his movies, basically. Oh my God. Yeah, like it's like almost a parody at this point, like how often it happens. But I love the Rolling Stones, so not complaining at all about that.
He's probably a big fan of Adventures in Babysitting then, isn't
he? Oh my God, Martin Scorsese hates superheroes, so that would be really funny if he loved Adventures in Babysitting and just the irony of the Thor. You know what, I do want to talk about another, and this is why we brought it up on the cell too. So Vincent D'Onofrio is in this movie, mm-hmm. and I should have seen this coming, but I didn't. But when you first see Vincent D'Onofrio, he comes down, he's got blonde hair and a hammer, and Sarah assumes that he is mm-hmm. Thor. But I was kind of bummed that, like, there really wasn't a payoff to that. He just kind of looked like Thor, but then he didn't really help them.
He did help them.
He was kind of, I mean, he did, but he didn't. He was still kind of like a kind of mean to them. Oh, yeah. Like, he wasn't, like, a relief. You know what I mean? I thought, like, he was going to be, like, kind of, like, a relief. Like, yeah, he helps them, but still there's, like, that... He has a weird confrontation with Brad and stuff, and he's kind of, like, I don't know who Thor is. Like, and I just thought it would have been cool if he was a little bit nicer to them. But that was really funny when he showed up.
I feel you're underselling him there a little bit. So the Vincent D'Onofrio character is the final, almost like the final stage before they can sort of get home. They've gone to collect their car that has had a flat tire and a window shot out, and they need $50, and they've got $45 that they've basically just pinched off people from the frat pie. And he won't let them have it because it's $50. And so you need to pay me $50. So you won't accept $45. But then when Sarah starts saying to him, oh, I know why you're being mean. It's because you don't have your hat. And he offers her Thor hat, and she's sort of bowing down to him like he's the god of thunder. He softens. He breaks. Mm-hmm. And he lets them have the car. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I don't need that helmet. I've got my one at home. And he gives her a little smile. I think he softens. And I think Sarah, they wouldn't have got that car back without Sarah thinking he was Thor, the god of thunder. Let's put it that way.
I just kind of, like, the way he first shows up, I was just kind of hoping he was going to instantly be, like, nice to them. But he isn't at first, so they've had enough. That's what I mean. Like, it was just such a long night that it's like, please, can someone just be nice to these kids for the love of God? Like,
they needed it.
But I couldn't believe that it was already 1 a.m. after they get Brenda, though. Like, they are driving, and they're like, oh, Chris is like, are those your parents? And they all duck down, and I thought she wasn't going to duck down, and she's... Oh, I was like, they're going to wreck this car. I was like, that's how this movie's going to end. I was so stressed. This movie just stressed me out, like, endlessly.
That was getting... Oh, my gosh. Another Ferris vibes, when Ferris is, like, running home at the end, and they're speeding home in the car, too. Mm-hmm. Just one of my final...
Or when they're in the cab, when his dad's in the other cab and they all have to duck down. Yeah, that's a really,
One of my, towards the end, one of the bits that makes me laugh is when they're in the cocktail pie or whatever, where parents are. So they've gone to, so Sarah's got lost in the city, but she knows the building that her dad works at and that they're at the party of. Mm-hmm. So she gravitates towards that, but she's being chased by the carjackers. But Chris and the boys sort of find their way into the cocktail party, but she goes incognito by putting a coat over a coat. So she's walking around this party in two coats at one point. I'm like, Chris, you can probably take your coat off. I know it's lovely, but probably take your coat off, take your scarf off, and just put the other coat on. It's like, what a choice. What a choice to make.
Just sweating, watching her do that with two coats on. That's too many coats. But yeah, well, is there anything else? Like, is this something, I don't know. So how many times have you seen this movie, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I watched it frequently for about 3 years. So we had it, we eventually bought a copy, or I think I probably got a copy. Or I got a copy for Christmas or something like that. You know, I was like, I want Adventures in Babysitting, mm-hmm. please. And so I owned a copy and would watch it all the time. I must admit, I haven't mm-hmm. seen it for a little while. I watched it with Katie at one point, but we've been together for such a long, well, 18 years. I don't know at which point we watched it, but I know that she did enjoy it when we watched it, but I haven't seen it maybe for 5 years. I would say 5 years, 6 years.
Okay. And do you plan on like sharing this with your kids and seeing if they get the same enjoyment?
I could happily share it with them. Probably the Disney edited version. Uh-huh. And and maybe not quite now, but I think I would, yeah. And okay. I think Betsy would like Sarah, definitely. I think she would like Sarah. And plus, Chris takes charge, and Bets would like that. Bets would like that the girls were the people taking charge and the boys were the idiots. So,
I mean, other than Brenda, like, the girls rock in this movie. Like, I'm just not Brenda, but I do want to also mention the part where Brenda gets her glasses taken from her and she's like in this train station, which all kinds of craziness is going on. And she thinks there's a random kitten. Like, no, honey, where do you think you are? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, like, oh my gosh, just, I felt bad for that rat though. I was like, come on, Brenda, like, you just dropped him like that, really? Like, he was just your buddy there for a second. And, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Brenda just, hopefully, you know what would be like karma and justice is if like Brenda and Daryl like ended up together years down the road. So I'm saying, like, that's it. And then they like haunt Chris for the rest of her life. Probably. Like, those are those friends she can't get away from, but she would really like to.
Hopefully Chris learned to get out of this little suburb. That's what she learned from this misadventure.
I will say this. One thing I did like about Brenda, it just was one of my favorite quotes in the movie, and it's in the very beginning. She was like, this town is like Dairy Queen. It's just one flavor. And it was like, all right, yeah, I just hope Chris has a better life after this terrible, terrible night. I hope she really is done babysitting also. Like, after that, I'd be like, never doing that again. If Sarah wants to come over and hang out, that's cool, but we are never going back to that house. Yeah. I'm never hanging out with, like, Brad and Daryl ever again.
No, nobody wants to hang out with Brad and Daryl. They barely want to hang out with each other, I think.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. Daryl is just the worst kind of friend, too. Daryl is the Brenda of the male friendship. Oh, my gosh. Just terrible.
I think that's it. We've made the connections, Brenda and Daryl. That's it. They went on to have a miserable life together.
They were like, I can't think of his name, but the really bad kid in the Breakfast Club. Those are his parents. I know it's like around the same time. I'm sorry.
But it would be reminisce of me, now that we're talking about Daryl, to not also say that Anthony Rapp, who plays Daryl, is in Star Trek Discovery as Lieutenant Stamets. So there we go. Another Star Trek connection.
He is surprisingly one of the more famous people, too, from this. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to add about Adventures in Babysitting?
No, other than maybe, I imagine this is what frat parties are like, right? Just people in knitwear and a live band doing their own songs. That can't possibly be a movie fallacy. So I imagine that.
I think we mentioned it in the 10 Things I Hate About You episode, but the way high school and college parties are depicted in movies, no. Unless if it's like in some rich California town where like it doesn't matter and people can get away with whatever because they have more money than everyone else, but no, that is not what college parties are like. So
have you got anything else? I got the feeling you didn't have anything else, but do you?
No, but I'm glad I watched it and I had fun. And like I said, like, 80s movies are just a time capsule. Mm-hmm. And it is really interesting to go back and be like, wow, what a time. I don't know if this was the decade for me, but what a time.
Well, I mean, can you hear in me why this is a comfort film?
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Totally. And I really liked how you found it and what it turned into from that. Like how sometimes our favorite movies are surprises. And I think those are kind of the best, like, warm blanket movies where, like, maybe you didn't know what to expect, but then it, like, impacted you so much. And I think that's another component of warm blanket where it just has such a lasting impact on you that, you know, like, it's always going to be a source of joy for you. And that's why you come back to it. And it might not be, like, every year, like, my pick when we get into it. But it can be just, like, an old friend that you just talk to, like, or see, like, every 5 years. And it's still reliable. It's not a Brenda or a Daryl. It's a Sarah. So that's what this movie is. And I like that a lot, too. Because those are the best kind of surprise movies that surprise you are the best kind of movies.
Yep. Well, thanks, Marcy, for sharing in this adventure we had together, albeit not in babysitting. Purely in,
not as stressful as the movie.
But one thing that we do here on the movie mixtape is think about a song that we could tie to the movie. Do you got one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my song, so we kind of talked about the show a while ago. So there's a show called What We Do in the Shadows, and it is based off of the movie, but we talked about Nandor, Kavinovic, when we talked about Four Lions. But the last season 4 just came on. This is a song I heard randomly in season 3. I don't think you've seen season 3 yet. But the song is not from the 80s, but it has an 80s sound to it. It's called SOS by Timothy Fleet and Wayne Murray. I think that's how you say his last name. And it just has a fun 80s sound to it, but also it's like all about like, please come help me, this is an emergency. And it just applied to poor Chris and the chaotic night that she had. So that's nice. My pick for this. Yeah.
My pick is based a little bit on the alternative title for this film, which was A Night on the Town, which I think it was released I think it was even released. Well, I read it was released in the UK as A Night on the Town, but I definitely rented this film as Adventures in Babysitting. So maybe it was just when it was in the cinema. But A Night on the Town, I've gone for 2003 from the album Fever to Tell, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Date with the Night.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that works. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. Well done. You got your favorite band in there.
That's what I was doing.
Now we can stop. We can't stop doing this.
That's all I wanted to do. And I've achieved that. So somebody give me a medal.
Can't wait till I tie Arctic Monkeys to my pick.
Have you not done the Nazi Monkey song yet?
Nope, not yet.
Can't wait to hear that next week.
I did do Kate Nash ones, though.
Enjoy that Kate Nash song.
Yeah.
That was from our I Killed Giants episode. Go back and listen to that, pod people. But if you want to give me a medal, don't bother. Don't give me a medal. Instead, share with us your opinions on Adventures in Babysitting, warm blanket movies, or just, you know, the 80s in general, and write to themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram account at the_moviemixtape, where we post on there Mikey's incredible art for the episode. I meant to say last week the art he did for Ready or Not. Oh, gee whiz,
it's beautiful.
Oh my beautiful. Gosh, so good. I haven't seen the art for this one yet, have we? Not yet.
What if I had and you hadn't? That would be so funny.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
It's always funny to me.
That's really funny. I'm glad you laugh about that. Yeah. but yeah, that's where we share that art. And also we get interactive on the Instagram stories and stuff. So yeah, go and join us. But we've got a couple of emails this week. Marcy, shall I read them?
Yeah, please
okay.
Do.
So first of all, from SETI BIM co-host Tim Hamilton.
Hi, Tim.
Hello. Oh, he's talking about Ready or Not. I should say his email title is Ready or Not.
Oh, okay. Did he watch the movie?
Hello.
I guess I'll find out.
So I did see this movie.
Wow, Tim,
you
did it.
The last movie we saw in the theatre before the world shut down, in fact. You talk about it as if it were a comedy. It was funny, but I guess I didn't realize it was an out-and-out comedy. Spoilers coming up for Ready or Not at the end now, if you don't want to hear this bit. The exploding at the end, I did not like as much as you two did. Tim, not find explosions hilarious? I guess I wanted a more subdued ending. Well, that's Tim all over, innit? If this had been an Edgar Wright type of comedy throughout the movie, I think I would have laughed at the ending more so. Thus, it was a fun movie, but I feel the balance of comedy to horror was a bit off for me. It reminds me of the time I saw the animated Lord of the Rings movie at the theatre when I was a kid. Love the show, you
sucker. Oh my god, Tim.
Tim.
Tim, we almost got that story, so maybe next week we'll try
maybe
again.
Maybe he says it every single week on the Seti Bimco podcast. This is just one long troll. But I know he doesn't because I listen
he
to
He just,
that.
You know what he does? Doesn't. He probably says it one word at a time on every Seti Bimco episode. Like that, like a, you know, storytelling game, you know, you play where everybody just goes around and says words.
Well, do you know what, Tim? You know, I was going to say, I feel a bit sad that you didn't enjoy Ready or Not as much as perhaps we did, but no, I'm not sad. I'm pleased that you felt you could share your truth with us because that's what we're about. All friends here, holding hands across the Atlantic Ocean. But yeah, imagine that being the last film you saw just before everything went to heck with COVID. That'd be all right, that, I think.
Wow, Tim, do you not go to the theaters a lot? Because that came out, like, in August 2019. I mean, I'm just curious.
She's shaming you now in front of everyone.
Tim, give me my story and I won't shame you anymore.
Shaming you in front of all of your mates, Tim.
Tim, if you saw it later in the year, because sometimes we have theaters that, like, play things that are a couple months old in theaters, then you can correct me next week and I apologize, so...
Tim, here's a tip, never correct Marcy. Okay, it's more trouble than it's worth. Next email. Rebecca Cardoza has written back. You might remember Rebecca was is Yoli's sister. Not was Yoli's sister, is Yoli's sister.
What, did something happen?
She's written back again, and she says, "Hi guys, I can't believe you read my email on your podcast." Well, aww. Why not? You wrote in, didn't you? We're going to read it. That's them's the rules. It made my day. You guys are awesome. Oh, I loved your episode on Ready or Not. What's not to love about the movie? Keep on doing what you're doing. And then she's done the smiley face emoji with three hearts around it. Rebecca.
Wow. Thank you, Rebecca. That was so sweet. Wow. Yoli is like one of the sweetest people we know. And it's like, oh, it's just, it's in their family. They're just a really nice, sweet family. That was really lovely.
I hope Tim was listening when I read out that email, because Rebecca, you've really just put him in his place. A bit like Marcy did as well by saying that, you know, what's not to love about the movie Ready or Not. I 100% agree. What is not to like about it? Apparently, Tim found something not to like about it. And yeah, well, of course we read your email. It was a flipping amazing email. And thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what? Thanks for giving us a try. And thanks for sticking around.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool to hear. So I love it. That makes me feel good.
Good. It made me feel good as well. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. Let's all go home.
Yeah, I know. You'd like to weasel your way out of next week's
pick. I don't even know what you're going to pick.
Yeah, you do, because I've been yelling about it, I think, before we even started doing episodes. So I am picking next week, but I have a little fun idea here after I say what I'm picking. Okay. Because you kind of did this right before we recorded with Yoli. So my pick next week, and this is like my ultimate warm blanket movie. It's 2005's Pride and Prejudice, starring Keira Knightley. And it's not streaming anywhere over here, but you should just buy it. Like, I own it because it's a perfect movie. So, Dirk has never read or seen anything Jane Austen adjacent. So I just want to know, Dirk, what do you think Pride and Prejudice is
about? What do I think it's about?
Yeah, you did this before Hellraiser, remember? Mm-hmm. You were like, oh yeah, I think, and I was like, oh, this is hilarious. So I just wanted to know what you
before
thought.
We go on. So I think Pride and Prejudice is obviously about It's about some people who love each other but can't get married for whatever reason, and it's about some people who don't love each other but have to get married. That's what I think Pride and Prejudice is going to be about. Lots of disconnections between getting married and how you feel about someone, and maybe somebody might get TB in it.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Just guessing. Oh just god. Guessing.
Oh my god! I can just tell you now, nobody gets TB in Pride and Prejudice. Holy shit.
Pneumonia then. Something respiratory illness that was rampant during the days that Pride and Prejudice took place.
Oh my god, I was not expecting that at all, but you know, you gotta just keep me on my toes. But yeah, Pride and Prejudice, I'm probably gonna watch it every day this week leading up to recording. Yeah, so very really excited. Really I can excited. Tell the excitement is like radiating off of your body right now.
I am going to do my absolute best for you, Marcy. That's what I'll say.
I just need you to just have an open heart and an open Always. Mind. That's all I ask.
You know, isn't that our motto?
Okay, thank you.
If it's not our motto, maybe it should be, because that's what we do. Okay. We bring films to each other, we share them, and we ask for no judgments beyond agreeing they're really nice films. Okay? Hide your own personal opinions and pretend you like the film your friend has just shown you. That's what we're all about here on A Movie Mixtape. So I will... I'm not going to do that, Marcy, because I will love it. Genuinely love it. It won't be pretend.
Can't wait for next week, but very excited. This movie means a lot to me, so that'll be fun to talk about. I mean, I'll be fine by myself if you want me to do a solo pod about it, so.
Because I'm going to face my demons and watch that film.
We're going to get into why you don't like these types of movies next week, don't worry. So.
I'll bloody tell you, don't worry. Right. Until then. Until then, Marcy, we will see you next week. Have a nice week, hey? Look after yourself. Be kind to each other and be kind to that person sat next to you on the train, because they probably don't want to go to work, do they? Probably want to work from home.
Be kind to your babysitters. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody? Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right.
All right. Bye. All right.
Bye for now.
Suck on that, you sucker.
Tape is a podcast hosted by Dirk and Marcy, mixed and edited by me. Our logo comes from Iron Tooth Design. Find us on Instagram at the_movie mixtape and catch new episodes on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening. Bye!